Hello, friends and listeners. Today's episode is brought to you by Indel.io. Indel creates endless soundscapes to give your mind and body what it needs to achieve total immersion in any task. It's neuroscientifically created music that plays in the background. It gives me amazing focus while I'm working, or relaxation while I'm meditating, or chilling, or driving. I love Indel.io. I truly do love Indel. It's one of my favorite new products of 2020, and you can use it to relax, concentrate, minimize distractions, and minimize brain fatigue. There's relax mode that I listen to while I'm just cruising in the car and wanting to de-stress. There's focus mode that I put on when I'm wanting to get work done. If I pair Indel.io with a Magic Mind shot, I am in the zone for 4 or 5 hours with deep work that I'm trying to get done. It is, like I said, neuroscientifically created to boost productivity and help you concentrate for longer. There's also sleep mode that soothes you into a deep sleep with these soft, gentle sounds that are created not like a 3-minute song, because it just continues on, but it is AI generated music that just continues to play for as long as you want to listen to it. And it's completely aligned with your circadian rhythm. It also uses things like the weather, your heartbeat if you have a Apple Watch, the time of day, to also tweak their algorithm to design the music for that mood or for that time of day. It's insanely smart technology. The team behind it is brilliant, and it's also available offline, so you don't have to be connected online to listen to it. I highly, highly recommend checking out Indel. It is, like I said, one of my favorite products of 2020. So go check it out, Indel.io. And for listeners, actually, I have a promo code for you. Go to code.indel.io and type in below the line. Code.indel.io and type in below the line for the promo code to get a huge discount from our friends at Indel. Big fan. Go check them out. That's Endel.io. Endel.io. And the link is also in the description. Another one of our badass sponsors is Vanta. Is your sales team unable to close deals because you don't have a SOC 2 report? A SOC 2 me, as some people call it? Or do you have a SOC 2 report that is being managed by a team of employees, several of them spending countless hours on it every year? Vanta has built connected software that makes it easy to both get and renew your SOC 2, the easiest way to get one, and renew it year after year. With Vanta's continuously monitoring solution, you avoid hosting auditors on site, sending loose leaf paper back and forth, taking hundreds and hundreds of screenshots to prove that you're compliant. None of that with Vanta. Vanta partners with over 24 AICPA accredited audit firms who all are trained to file your SOC 2 report directly inside of Vanta at a fraction of the cost that you might be used to. Hundreds of companies like Lattice, Clubhouse, Bolt, which is a portfolio company of mine that raves about using Vanta, are leveraging their services today to streamline compliance and focus on building their businesses. Below the line listeners can redeem $1,000 off. That's $1,000 off at vanta.com/BTL. Go to vanta.com/BTL. That's vanta.com/BTL to redeem your $1,000 off coupon and see how much better it is than the old way of doing things. Below the line is also brought to you by, I hate saying that because I know you're just going to go right into fast forward for the episode when I say brought to you by. So instead, I'm going to say Below the Line has something else that it wants you to hear about. And that is a little project of mine called Magic Mind, the world's first productivity drink. Do you want more creativity, more flow, more energy, and less stress? Go to magicmind.co to get the 2-ounce shot that contains 12 magical ingredients that are scientifically designed to improve your productivity. Along with CEOs, doctors, musicians, even Navy SEALs, I take it every day and have been for about 6 years after a trip to the ER from drinking way too much coffee day to day. It is the single most important part of my morning ritual to get more done and to stress less. Listeners know that I go to pretty extreme lengths to talk about the science behind sleep, diet, exercise, alternatives to coffee, nootropics, adaptogens, anti-inflammatories, whatever it is. I go to pretty extreme lengths to talk about the science behind it. And you can find the peer-reviewed research on the ingredients of Magic Mind on the site to learn more. Go to magicmind.co, that's magicmind.co, and enter the promo code BTL to get 15% off and try it for yourself. So there you go. And if you dig below the line, we would love a review. It's how podcast platforms rank and suggest podcasts. So every review matters. It takes 3 seconds. You don't even have to write anything anymore. So if you're one of the fine folks that have already left a review, thank you so much. We read every single one, the good and the bad. But we especially read the 5-star ones. But if you haven't left a review, go into, as the YouTubers say, go into the App Store and smash that subscribe button, and also smash the review stars or whatever you need to smash, and leave us a review, good or bad. We appreciate every single one. All right, plugging episode number 3, Ready, Fire, Aim, and the Wisdom of Getting Started. So I was reading a transcript of an interview with an all-star athlete that's now investing in companies across the country. And he basically said for his investment arm, now that he's retired, the things that he looks for. And one of the things that he looks for is, and he put an emphasis on this, a detailed plan, an extremely detailed plan of how you're going to get to where you're going. And I thought that was actually terrible advice for an investor looking for startups, looking for new ventures to invest in. It might be great if it's a 10-year mature business, but if you're looking for, he's talking about venture investing, that is terrible advice for an investor. And I think that's a terrible example for founders. I know early on in my career, I would create these really detailed business plans. And then I went through Y Combinator and basically saw that and learned from Paul Graham telling me that business plans actually show a lack of knowledge of how these things work. And meaning that there's so much you don't know until you launch. And you can have a 3 or 4 page business plan for sure, but a 20 page prospectus that has this detailed plan and in the vein of what, for where you want to go, is just so actually counter to what I've seen work over the last 11 years of creating things, in the last 7 years of investing in companies around the Bay Area and around the world. It is actually far better, in my opinion, to just get started not having a plan. And instead of this massive conceptual theoretical exercise, just fucking get started with it. Pull on a thread of something that you wish existed in the world. And this is a lot of Eric Ries and Steve Blank's wisdom and the minimum viable product. Get the tiniest version out there so that you can start to get feedback and get the collaboration of customers or potential customers, which is far more important than your own musings of what your detailed plan is going to be. And I think a lot about the phrase ready, fire, aim as actually being, you know, it's used colloquially as an easy way to make mistakes. But I actually think ready, fire, aim is far better of an approach to entrepreneurship than aiming and then firing, because that is an endless exercise to aim perfectly at a target that you cannot see. It makes perfect sense in basketball to have a very detailed approach to the game, because you know what the game is. You know what the rules are. You know what the parameters are. But if I were to tell you, aim your arrow at the target and fire, and there is no target, and you have to figure out the target, then you could spend quite literally an endless amount of time figuring out what the target should be. And it's like saying, all right, we're going to play a game. You move first. And you sitting there being like, well, what the hell is the game? What? How do I move? And you could sit there and ask those questions endlessly, and you'd be right to. But with a startup, with creation, whether it is a piece of art or whether it is a piece of software, I think getting started is the single most important thing towards that end goal than anything else. And it is, like I mentioned, it is the easiest way to start to invite the most critical aspect into the equation, which is customers and potential customers to start to collaborate with you and give you feedback. This has been said in so many different ways, of launch your first version when you're embarrassed by Reid Hoffman, or that minimum viable product from Steve Blank and Eric Ries. But I think all of it comes down to just getting started. I think of in French art, there's a concept of objectivé art, which is you take, in sculpting, you take a block of marble or you take a block of wood and you see what that block of wood wants to become. You start carving away at it, but ultimately it has its own grooves to it, and trying to force it to become X when its grooves actually will far more superiorly allow it to become Y is something that you really want to lean into as a sculptor in this vein of objectivé art. And I think it's the exact same with anything you're creating. You ultimately want to lean into what it wants to become and what it is, whether it's software, whether it is a piece of art, is a collaboration with the environment around you, collaboration with the resources that you have, and a collaboration with your customers and their input. And I think that is something you can't do with this extremely finely detailed plan that you come up with theoretically and abstractly from your couch or your desk. And the last thing I think about when I think about the terrible advice to have this extremely detailed plan of how you're going to get from here to there, is usually the here to there is usually years apart, at least a year apart. Who wants to look at a plan for, you know, your next 7 days? And it's not that interesting, I think, for you, as interesting as, or at least it's not nearly as interesting as thinking about where you are today and where you want to be 12 months from now or 5 years from now, which is, I think, far more illuminating on the path and the direction you want to take. But in that scenario of trying to think 12 months out or 5 years out, one of the things that is so critical in getting there is not just incorporating the feedback and collaboration of your customers, but also incorporating the feedback of all of the information you're going to gather in the next 3 months. It seems obvious, but until I saw it visually, if you are building something and you want it to grow, let's say 20% month over month, and when you're first getting started with something really brand new, and maybe it's just you and a co-founder, or maybe just you and a piece of software, and you want to go from 5 customers to 25 customers over the course of 6 months, you know, that's growing about 20% month over month. That's not that hard to go from 5 to 25 in 6 months. But the surface area of growing 20% month over month, it means that every 90 days, you have about 3 times the surface area of growth, of information, of collaboration, of feedback from the customers. And maybe you're going from 500 to 2,500 customers in 6 months, or to 5,000 in 12 months. That surface area of growth, that growth graph going up and to the right, is about 3 times the surface area every 3 months. Or said more simply, you're getting 3 times as much information every 90 days as you had the previous 90 days. And you can either see this written out, or you can just trust me on the math. You're basically missing out on the next 90 days of essentially being 3 times the information you have today to outline a detailed plan and then say, okay, this is what we're going to do for the next 12 months. That's only on the next 90 days. The next 12 months, you're missing out on far more than that. But by saying, okay, we have this very detailed plan and a new venture, again, maybe that works for a 10-year-old mature business, although I think I have my doubts on that as well. Even seeing things in mature environments like Airbnb for 2 years, I don't know if that's correct, but I certainly believe that is terrible advice for an early stage venture, because you're going to miss out on even just the next 90 days where you're going to have three times the information that you had the previous 90 days. And you're going to continually miss out on that amount of information every single time that you sit down and write out a 12-month finely detailed plan. I think it is far more important to have where you are today, where you want to be in 90 days, where you want to be in 12 months, but then being very flexible each day and each week as you're gathering more and more information. So there you go. That's plugging episode number 3. And it is ready, fire, aim, the wisdom of getting started.